tuned to Focused on Campus, a weekly show which highlights faculty, staff, and students here at the University of Texas at El Paso. And joining us this morning on Focused on Campus is comedian Patrick Candelaria. He's a good friend of mine, no stranger to KTP, to El Paso. He's a comedian, professional comedian, who's traveled and performed all over the world. And I had the pleasure, privilege to work with him when I was doing stand-up comedy. But we decided to bring him on because not only is he a UTEP alum, but he's also going to be taking part in an event that's going to be happening during homecoming week. We don't know how much we can tell you yet, but Patrick will kind of be privy to that if we can or not. But just keep ready and keep watching the calendar for October, because everything, you know, there's too many things going on in the world, and a lot of serious stuff going on, a lot of tragedies. But sometimes you have to laugh and you have to sit back and you know, Patrick is one of those people who can just turn a boring defensive driving class into something hilarious. And he's just a fun guy to be around. So, Patrick, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you, Louis. You make it sound as all secretive about this thing in October going on.
Oh, yes.
You're almost whispering. Okay, we don't know a lot about it. I know a little bit about it.
Well, I'm like the president. I guess I have to get congressional approval before I do
anything. You're out of the loop right now?
Yes.
Okay, we'll bring you in the loop. Yeah. October 3rd, the Thursday before the homecoming game, I'm working with UBAN, UTEP Black Alumni Network, and we're doing a show where they bring in a lot of alumni will come for the homecoming, and they have a fish fry, there's a barbecue, there's meet and greets going on, and they noticed in the evenings there's not a lot to do sometimes. So they thought, let's put together something. First, I think it was just for the Black Alumni Network. And they got a little bigger and they invited Billy Towns, a, you know, jazz musician locally, also a UTEP student, former UTEP student. And they started thinking, if we get him, we get maybe some more people to show up and open it up. And we have it. Now we're having it at McGoffin Auditorium is going to host it. We can get, you know, over 1,000 people. The tickets are going to be reasonably priced. Last I heard, don't quote me on this, it's going to be, see, I want to make, they say I want to keep the prices around $20. I said, let's make the prices $19.14. How about that for you, Tim?
That's great, yeah.
Yeah, but he
said,
okay, too much to remember. It's $25 for the good seats, or if you know me, I can get them for you for $35. They're $15 for, you know, after like 20 rows and back, and then $10 if you're a UTEP student with an ID.
And two for 30 or two for 20.
Okay, now you're confusing the listeners.
Yeah,
too much math. It's still a morning show.
Since we last spoke with you, we talked about your CD when you – we want to thank you very much for your service to our country by providing entertainment to the troops overseas. And you have a CD that we'll talk about in just a minute. But last time you were here, you're different because – now you're a daddy, and so you have some new material now. Because, you know, anybody who's ever been a dad, we know that it's the hardest job in the world, but the best job in the world.
Well, after you sit through a C-section, then it's all uphill from there. Yeah, the worst part is sitting in the operating room during a C-section. And then after that, hey, it's not so bad. Although everybody tells me about, okay, the first three, you know, once you have a baby, you'll have all this material. And admittedly, it was a little disappointing. The first 3 months, it's only poop jokes. That's all they do. Although at the fourth month, it gets interesting when you do open the diaper at the fourth month and you smell the poop. And my wife and I look at each other suspicious, like, okay, who's been slipping her Mexican food? This is not normal. This is not just formula here. But then, of course, they start to crawl away at about 6-7 months. And now then you can't change them on the floor anymore because, you know, in the middle of crawling, they're not done pooping. And I've never had a baby before. I've had pets, so I rubbed her nose in it. You know, I got a teacher, but and then now it's like a lot of fun. They start moving around, they start dancing, and I've learned something interesting too. When someone looks at you and says, they look at you and there's that look they give you, like, oh, you must be a good father. That's their polite way of saying, wow, you look tired.
Maybe you ought to start teaching defensive diaper change.
I can. I'm down to 15 seconds on my best time.
That's awesome.
Well, and that does not include wipes, though. I heard you're supposed to use those every time.
But you This little girl is just beautiful. And of course, you know, we all say that as parents, have a beautiful little girl. You never have heard a father say, I have this ugly child. You know,
you don't know as many comedians as I do. I'm sorry.
But as far as the traveling goes, because I know that you used to travel a lot, and people don't realize that being a comedian is more than just getting up there and telling jokes, because you can have the best joke in the world, and if you don't deliver it right, if you don't know how to deliver it, and depending on the audience, that thing is going to bomb. So you have to be ready with some backup material and all that stuff. And as far as what I'm trying to get to is, now that you're a dad, and of course you're a husband, family, it's very hard what you're doing, because people think that it's very easy to get up there and tell jokes.
No, it's not like riding a bicycle is what you're getting at. You have to keep at it. And it is easier when I used to do a lot of clubs. Your act really starts to just skyrocket as far as the quality. You end up doing, you know, 6-7 shows a week back to back. And each night you can tell a joke. Like you said, the same words that you used one night, if you tweak a word, if you pause half a second before another word on the punchline, it makes all the difference. I know people may not know this about listeners, but yeah, Louis, you've done stand-up comedy a lot. Yeah. When Louis's not doing this show, he's very interesting. Okay, you know, I'm just serious, right? Yeah, well, Louis, you know exactly what we're talking about here, about when you see a comedian, part of the job is make it look easy. And when someone, after you're done with the show, and I've learned to do this, when someone comes up and says to me, you know, people tell me I should do comedy, I think, okay, that's a compliment. When people say, yeah, it's easy, that means I did my job. I got to make it look easy. When you're right, there's a lot of other stuff in there. And right now I'm at a gap in my career, but because my wife works full time, she has benefits.
Crossroads?
Not really crossroads. I guess I'm just taking a break, sort of a hiatus, where I'm going doing one nighters here and there. You know, maybe I'll do a casino one nighter, and so I have to really, you know, watch what I used to do. I used to, for a while, I'd get up on stage and I felt like it was coming natural to me, and that's a nice when I'm in the zone. Now it's gone back to where I've done shows locally, and it's really. I'm liking the challenge again, where I have to really concentrate on what I'm doing. I got to, like you say, remember, okay, when I told the joke this way, it only gets this big of a laugh. But if I tell it this way and say this after it, then it gets a huge laugh. And so, you know, instead of going on stage going, you know what, I'll just wing it up tonight and play the crowd. Now I'm doing like I did 10 years ago, 15 years ago, when I have to remind myself before the show, okay, sit down, concentrate, go over your set in your head, where you want to go. And, you know, I can't just, as I said, I've never phoned it in, but it was really nice to be in a stage where I could, you know, a couple years ago, I'd go up there, I was in the zone, I hit a casino stage or I hit a club stage and just kind of throw it out there, and I was on my A game. Now I got to really concentrate when I'm doing my shows. I did a one-nighter just on the east side of El Paso recently, and it turned out to be a lot of fun because, you know, I saw some local comics, and they're going up there, and I say, okay, that's right. That's what I got to do. I got to get back in that stage where I got to bring my game back to where I'm still operating without a net, but I got to keep my concentration level much higher.
Now, Patrick, when you and I used to do stand-up comedy back in the 80s and even early 90s, there were quite a few local comedians. And, of course, I don't want to say you and I were the best, but we were the most prominent as far as appearing together and doing different things. Has that changed? Because people had said for a while, you know, comedy is not what it used to be in El Paso anymore. The comic strip is not what it used to be. And it's just that, you know, why can't we have comedy clubs like some of the other places, big cities? We are a big city.
Yeah, we are a big city. And the comic strip went through its transition from the west side to the east side, then the mistakes that the owner ran into. But, you know, they still bring in the people who are on their way up. But I think I guess what you're getting at, if you perform the Tonight Show, then you're not going to be working the clubs again. Now you're going to be at a different level. You'll be York Celebrity Rooms. And I know what you're talking about. Other cities have like the Improv, which is actually straightened out its act and it's picking up again. But, it's really tough. The comic strip has never had open mics. Or they did. It was the very beginning, I think they did, but then the owner decided to forego those. And so there is a couple of groups in town, different groups that are working their way into bars where they can have a night of just open mic comedy. And I've done those before, and that's the old seat of your pants comedy where you got to go fast. But there too, unfortunately, the young guys who are putting it together, they're ambitious, they're excited about what they're doing, but they don't. I've talked to a few of them and said, here's what they do in other cities, how open mics are supposed to work. Don't just put a microphone and a light up and say, showtime. Tell the comedians, here's what you got to do. Here are the rules. Here's what you got to work for. If someone's never done comedy before, don't say, great, everybody gets 10 minutes. You don't want an amateur up there doing 10. You want them to start off, give them, you know, like they do in other cities. You start with 3 minutes. Not even that, if you have 3 minutes, if you're 2 minutes in and you get the light, you got to bail. You know, we don't want to kill the room. Because if you start with three, get their confidence up. You have someone go up for 10 minutes and tank, well, they may never come back again. When they do have a couple of good things that they can work on. But that's the issue now. It's a matter of not just there are not a lot of comics. There's a lot of people who call themselves comedians. But when I see in the open mics here, and like I said, I'm trying to work toward is getting them to turn it more into what professional clubs do with their open mics. And you work your way up to your goal where you want to work the club. You want to be able to. At least that's one good thing about some of the local mics, the local open micers. They get good enough where they will get a guest set at the comic strip, the professional club. And if they're good, eventually they'll work up to where they get to open for a week. And, you know, even the openers here are getting – they'll start them at 7 minutes. You know, just get up there, you know, get your feet wet.
One of the things that we have noticed, I was fortunate enough to spend 3 days with Red Skelton when I was at New Mexico State University, and you know he gave me a lot of tips, and I worked with him. And one of the things that stands out in my mind is he said, "Comedy is comedy, and you can make people laugh by being funny." He says the problem with some of today's comedians, and that is when Eddie Murphy was coming up and some of the other people like that. And he said some of these comedians are getting laughed at because people are embarrassed because of the vulgar language they're using and stuff like that. He said, but I think that you can be funny without using vulgar language. And one of the examples that I want to use is for one of my classes, I showed a clip of No Time for Sergeants with Andy Griffith, Don Knotts, and the students were just dying. They're hilarious, and we're going, can we watch the rest of it? And they're going, that is really funny, and it's a black and white movie. I didn't expect it to be funny because it was an old movie.
Well, going back to what you're saying, I tell young comics, the guys who want advice, I say if you take every joke you have when you start off, yeah, you can have your dirty jokes because you're working at a bar, people are out, you want to have to get their attention, and so yeah, you may throw out the F bombs and stuff, but I say find every joke you do, find a clean version of it or clean it up and work on that, because guess what, one day nobody's ever said we don't like you because you're too clean. But there's so many clubs who'll say, we can't use you because you're too dirty. Also, when it comes down to what I got real fortunate with after I left, I did radio for a while. Then I did a lot of corporate comedy where because I can do 45 minutes an hour and still, you know, somebody needs 45 minutes an hour of corporate clean, I can do that. I can do an afternoon show for the Sleda School District employees, you know, without being offensive and without any words that you won't hear on TV. Well, I shouldn't say that because the words you see here on TV are getting worse. But I can get through some that, you know, I know friends of mine who now do comedy in churches. A lot of comedians travel through the church network because they can work clean. And, you know, it's just the ones who do get the shock value. I mean, let's face it, we live in that world where you get shocked. You hear Andrew Dice Clay is going to work his way up. All those kind of names that, you know, have found their place. But there's people out there who can work clean, who can work steady, who can – well, now the cruise ships are the big thing. Like a lot of friends of mine, who my mentors when I started, they're all doing cruise ships. And they've gotten to where, you know, they've done comedy for a while. We all have our 2 hours of headline material we can whittle down. And luckily, a lot of them said, okay, I can take at least 1 hour of my act and make it clean and whittle that down. And you know, I tell when they start, always have the clean version of your joke. And that'll get you more work and that'll open more doors. Also, if they'll book a headliner who's relatively clean, they don't want a dirty act opening for you or starting out the show. There's I got work at the beginning, too, when they said, well, they called me from Tucson. We need you to come in this week. We had so-and-so scheduled, but the headliner is relatively clean, so can you fill in, can you finish up the week? And I could just drive up there and finish the week and get my feet in the door that way.
Now, as far as we talked about jokes and how people started, it used to be that just about every comedian started out by being the class clown or doing impressions. I want your opinion as this is, how come we don't hear about impressionists anymore, like Rich Little, Frank Gorshin? It's like, I don't know if it's a lost art or people don't use it anymore.
That's a good question. I know Jay Moore, he did a lot of impressions. He now does sports talk radio, but don't tune in yet. He's not on the air yet. Don't switch channels. He does impressions, but you're right. I don't know of any other young people who go in that route. I've heard some bad impressions on the road before, some... The guy, there was a man who built himself as a man of 1,000 voices. I went, can you do at least 3? Good. But I don't know why that faded away the way it did. I like, there's still I mean, you think about old time radio, I guess it would be interesting to hear it, but watching a voice come from a different face, maybe that was just too, that's just too weird. Although you think about ventriloquism still works. So, one of the greatest things about old-time comedy, going looking back on us, like, who was Edgar Bergen?
Edgar
was
Bergen.
A ventriloquist during the days of radio. How tough was that job?
Yeah.
You couldn't see his lips because you couldn't see him at all. He's on radio. That's a pretty good gig if you ask me.
Tell us, as we're wrapping up, Patrick, once again, the dates for this comedy extravaganza that we're still in the planning stages, but it's going to be on during homecoming.
It's homecoming week. It's on a Thursday night, I think October 3rd. October 3rd is the date of where we'll be doing our event. And it's going to be, we're bringing in Michael Collier. So you talk about clean comics. He was one of the first winners of Star Search back in the day. I got to meet him, and he's one of the friendliest guys in the business. Anybody will tell you. Nicest guys. Michael Collier, if you want to look up some of the clips on YouTube, it's YouTube. Go Miners. If you want to go to YouTube, it's Collier. And one of the things he does, he's crispy clean, and he also, makes fun of, he makes fun of Catholics and being raised in a Catholic school and all. And so I got a kick out of that. But so if you, look him up, Michael Collier, Collier, and he is, I don't want to say squeaky clean because that turns people off sometimes. He has an edge to him, but he keeps it at a level where everybody can enjoy it. And you'll be laughing. Hopefully I'll get you laughing, and he'll come and wrap up the show. And we're honored to have him as the headliner.
So again, folks, next month, if you want to get some laughs, call 747-5000. That is the main switchboard for UTAP. And you can ask for the alumni relations office, and they can give you all the scoop on that. We've been visiting with Patrick Candelaria, UTEP alum and also professional comedian and good friend of mine and the station. Thank you for being with us.
Well, thanks for having me, Louis.
Focus on Campus is taped and produced at the KTP Studios, University of Texas at El Paso Communication Building. Our thanks to our engineer and producer, Dennis Wu. You've been tuned to Focus on Campus. I'm Louis Sines.